Okay. Wait for it. Almost there. Here we go. I just played that sound for my 21-year-old daughter. She had no idea what it was. I had to tell her it was the sound of a dial-up modem. It's a sound that I had to sit through every time I connected to the internet. And it's a sound that still fills me with a strange mixture of frustration and anticipation. Hearing that sound is like reliving my first steps as a toddler. In those early days, my obsession was Usenet, a text-only environment where you could find a topic that interested you, start a new discussion thread, or comment on other people's threads. I was a new parent at the time and an at-home dad, so a lot of my topics were, not surprisingly, about being a parent. The hours I spent rocking my girls to sleep have been worth it. If you don't want to make your baby cry in a crib, you don't have to. If you rock your babies, they'll still learn to fall asleep on their own eventually. Don't be hasty to sacrifice one of life's greatest simple pleasures for the sake of expedience.
Rocking one's child to sleep every night is one of life's greatest pleasures. Rocking one's child to sleep multiple times per night every night for months is not one of my greatest pleasures. It sounds like total hell. Things that are enjoyable at 7:30 p.m. aren't necessarily enjoyable again at 10, and then at 1, and then 3, and then 4, and then 5:30.
It's fun to look back at those threads, which, by the way, is frighteningly easy thanks to Google Groups. But it's also pretty jarring considering that baby I rocked to sleep is now in her 20s. Usenet was also my first experience of what we think of today as social media or online communities, even if it didn't have the same connectivity we've come to expect. And these people on Usenet weren't my Facebook friends or my Twitter followers, but I did come to know them in a way, particularly the ones I disagreed with. The big thing about Usenet is that it made me aware that I wasn't content to be just a consumer of content on the internet. I wanted to participate. I guess I was ready for Web 2.0, even if it wasn't ready for me. One day, I got an email from my internet service provider, Edmonton Freenet, telling me that they would provide an entire megabyte of server space for members who wanted to build their own personal homepages. So I decided to teach myself how to code in HTML, and over a couple of weeks, I built my first ever web page, which by today's standards was ridiculously ugly and very rudimentary, but I was hooked on the process. A side note, a couple of days ago I discovered the Internet Archive and its incredible Wayback Machine. Thankfully, I was able to scour my brain and remember my original URL, and so through the Wayback Machine, I was able to revisit various versions of my page dating back to as early as January 1998. Before long, I had registered my own domain, Rollins.com, and constructed a website for my extended family, including an online guest book and even a chat room where all the young cousins could meet up. It was enough of a novelty at that time that Rollins.com even got mentioned in a national magazine, Today's Parent. Ooh, I was such a pioneer. In those days, I was also a musician. I sang bass in an Edmonton vocal group called Juba. One day I read a newspaper article about something called MP3, which apparently was a new way to distribute music over the internet. Before long, I discovered mp3.com, which was a fantastic website where independent musicians could share and even sell their music. Over the next couple of years, I earned literally dozens of dollars in music sales at mp3.com. But more importantly, it connected me with a lot of other independent musicians from all over the world. Like Usenet, mp3.com made me feel like I was part of something pretty big when it came to the internet. To this day, I'm still a fan of all kinds of former mp3.com artists, even if nobody else has ever heard of them. I still work from home, and I'm still involved with music. In the 1990s, Juba used to work regularly with an Edmonton youth choir called Cocopelli. Over the years, both my daughters sang with Cocopelli. I'm on the board, and I sing bass with the organization's adult choir, Basilando. I also handle promotions for Cocopelli, which mostly involves running the Facebook page, the Twitter profile, and the YouTube channel. We currently have 2,500 likes on our Facebook page, which is pretty incredible for a little community choir. We have over 600 Twitter followers, and we're closing in on 500,000 lifetime views on YouTube. The song you're hearing right now, recorded a little over a year ago, has more than 125,000 views. I'm constantly amazed at how easy it is to participate online nowadays, especially when I think back 18 years ago to my earliest struggles with HTML. As someone who mostly works alone and at home, it's fantastic to feel so connected, even with the knowledge that I'm also feeding big data with every click of my mouse. The biggest thing about my long life as a transliterate person, to use my word of the week, is that I'm very comfortable living, working, and now studying in an online environment. At the same time, I never take any of it for granted. You've been listening to Scott Rollins speaking to you from Edmonton, Alberta, on January 11th, 2015, nearly 7 hours before this assignment is due. Scott out.